Founded in 1915, the Siegel Music Colony is the oldest summer vocal training program in the United States, located in the town of Scroon Lake in the Adirondack Mountain region of upstate New York. Their summer program is a 9-week session in which 32 young artists selected through a rigorous national audition selection process receive intensive training in vocal technique, musicality, acting, and career preparation. As part of this training, they produce 6 full-scale productions of opera and musical theater each summer for presentation to the public. This summer, Siegel Music Colony celebrates 100 years, and here to tell us more is Tony Kostecki, who is the general director of the Siegel Music Colony. Tony, thank you very much for being here. Very nice to have you.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Joe, for having me. We're happy to be here and introduce some of your listeners to Siegel Music Colony if they have not heard of us before.
So this is fascinating to me that this has been going on uninterrupted?
Uninterrupted.
Okay.
Every year, wartime and all.
And for the most part, the mission has not changed.
For the most part, the mission has not changed. We were founded by Oscar Siegel, thus the name Siegel Music Colony, who was a well-known opera singer and teacher around the turn of the 20th century. He started the colony started teaching before that, but started the colony in the Adirondacks in 1915. And we have been training young vocalists since then.
What brought him to Scroon Lake?
Like many downstaters of that era, they went to the Adirondacks for the summer. He actually was teaching in France with a famous tenor, John Dureska, became his kind of teaching protege. And they started a school that would have students here in the Adirondacks in the summer and then take them to Nice, France for the remainder of the year, which doesn't sound like a bad combination of places to be.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty
nice.
I like that. So he started the colony in the Adirondacks because was the place to be at that time of that time.
A 9-week session,
mm-hmm.
and you take 32 artists.
32.
So let's ask the obvious question: how do you become one of the 32?
Well, we audition in 6 or 7 locations around the country. We also take applications with their recorded materials. We get about 400 applications a year from universities, conservatories across the country, and we whittle them down to 32.
What are you looking for? What specifically are you looking for?
Well, of course, we're looking for talented people. We have to fill certain roles of the season. The shows that we plan to do each year, we decide before the audition process starts. So we do have to cast those shows. But really, primarily, we're looking for people that we see some potential in and that can really, have a career in opera or musical theater.
So once they're chosen, and they range in age about 20 to 26, right?
Yeah, on an average.
Okay. So they're young, but they've obviously had some training, if not a lot of training.
Right.
And then they come to you and you give them more training.
Yeah, we consider ourselves kind of a finishing school, if you will, for opera singers. A lot of them are in the pre-professional stage. They're not quite ready for the big apprentice programs or summer programs. Glimmer Glass is an example of that in the area. But have gotten about what they can get out of the university or conservatory programs. We try to give them some of the stuff that they don't receive when they're in school, the training of how to be a business person and sustain, a career in the opera world, which, you get a lot of some performing experience in school, but those kind of business training things are things that just don't really usually happen in the conservatory university setting.
You do 6 productions
mm-hmm.
throughout the summer over 9 weeks. So how far into it do you start? Is the first production?
The first production is basically 2 weeks after everyone arrives.
All right.
So it's pretty intense and quick.
And it's always with that in mind, of getting ready for the next show.
Absolutely, yeah. Everything from day one, we're rehearsing at least the first 3 shows, preparing them musically. The artists come with their parts memorized. They've been cast ahead so that they can prepare, especially if it's something that's in a foreign language. They obviously have to do some work in advance. But it's an intense time we run very much like a camp.
Mm-hmm.
They're immersed in their in their music and in their training pretty much 24/7.
The idea of six shows over 9 weeks seems, you know, crazy, but it really isn't unlike many people who are in, well, you mentioned Glimmer Glass, but other summer opera companies, and that's pretty much the schedule,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, it's very much in a more real-world schedule than, you know, again, what many of these young artists have received in school, you know, when they'll have a whole semester to prepare a show. We, you know, we give them basically 2 weeks between each of our four main stage productions. So
it would seem to me that repertoire is incredibly important because there is the teaching aspect of what you want to accomplish.
Absolutely.
So what goes into that repertoire and also the timing of the repertoire?
Right.
Assuming that production one is a little bit less taxing than production number six, perhaps.
Not really, actually. We actually try to have everyone, the full 32, in the first show. We found over the course of doing this for the past, I've been involved for the past 20 years, that it really gets the bond of the young artists to have them all involved in the first show, even if they're just in a chorus role or something like that. And then we typically tend to have a large show at the end of the summer where everyone's in because it keeps them all busy. 26-year-olds with nothing to do is not a great combination all the time. So we keep them busy to the end. But choosing those four main stage shows plus the other smaller shows we do during the course of the summer is a matrix of, you know, how many sopranos and how many mezzos, how many tenors do we want, figuring out the shows that we can combine in four shows that give everyone a chance to shine, because that is one thing that we do promise all of the young artists is that they'll have at least one featured role in a show every summer. So it's complicated, but it's part of the fun of the job for sure.
Now, for most part, is it one and done? You're in it for one season, or do you have people that come back over?
We typically do have returners for a couple of years. This year, I think we have 11 out of 32 that are returning from, and that's a fairly good average.
Okay. Yeah. And when you think of that, then that tells you a lot because you do have some experienced people who I assume guide the newbies.
Absolutely.
And help get them through the schedule.
Yeah, particularly the camp aspects of things.
Yes, this is where you go and this is where you have to do.
Exactly.
And then there's the campus. The campus is gorgeous.
It is. It's beautiful. We're on about 20 acres in the mountains just southwest of the town of Schooner Lake, which is, if you've been up the Northway, it's the first big lake you get to in the Adirondacks right on the Northway.
So. Yeah. And how was that property found?
Well, Oscar Siegel made a good bit of money in around the First World War singing a tune called Dear Old Pal of Mine, which was the number one war tune and during World War One. And with the funds from that, royalties of that, purchased two farms from another Schooner Lake local there and started bringing people there to sing. Our current theater is a converted barn that was on one of the farms. Our what we call the White House, which is kind of a dining room, a place where everyone meets. The commercial kitchen is there. That's where we have our meals. Was one of the original farmhouses. And over the course of 100 years, there's lots of little cabins and small places around the about 20 acres of campus that we use for the summer program. So.
Give us an idea of the staff of who's teaching these youngins.
Well, we have three voice teachers, four musical coaches. We do all of our performances just with piano. There's no orchestra, so we really concentrate on the vocal training. All of those people are from universities, conservatories across the country, or working professionals in the opera and musical theater fields. We also have a technical staff that's there producing the productions that we do each summer. Again, they're mostly the supervisors of that group are opera professionals that work around the country. So, and then we've got our administration, myself, our artistic director is Darren Woods, who is also the general director of Fort Worth Opera in Fort Worth, Texas. Mm. And he and I, along with kind of a core team, have been with the company for 20 years now. So
when these men and women come to you even through rehearsal and the first time that they actually get together. Who do you brag about? Oh, here's our list of alumni.
Sure. Well, it's a long list, obviously, from 100 years, but recently, those that are doing really well, we have one particular, Sean Panikkar, is a tenor. Sean has had a really wonderful career. He sings at the Metropolitan Opera regularly. He got a little extra notoriety when he was on America's Got Talent.
There you go.
As part of the tenor trio Forte, they were one of the final groups.
Sure.
It was funny. I was sitting in rehearsal at the theater in Scroon Lake in the summer, because that show airs in the summer, and someone texted me and said, I just saw Sean Panikkar in America's Got Talent, and I just said, what are you talking about?
How does that work?
But, he's like I said, he's done really well. It was, and we were very excited for him. He had a lot of voters from the North Country, I think, that helped get them to the finals, I would hope.
That's great. And what about, and this goes back to, I guess, the question I asked you about repertoire and deciding what to do, a mix of new and old?
We do a mix of new and old. We typically do two operas, two musical theater pieces as our main stage season. And over the course of the past maybe 10, 15 years, we've tried to focus on newer operas. We've done a number of workshops of operas either in the our regular season or in the kind of what we call our postseason in the late August and early September. And this year, you know, because it's our 100th anniversary, we really wanted to do some barn buster kind of shows. And so we have two operas, Falstaff and The Barber of Seville, that are pretty mainstream and very popular. And then two musicals, Into the Woods and Les Miserables, which is one of a show that we've anticipated for many years. So
tell us a little bit about the audience that supports you.
Well, we have a wonderful core audience of second homeowners and residents of the region up in up around Scroon Lake that not only are our audience, but really are our donor base. It's the great thing about that core audience is they really have bought into this training and the young artists, the idea of them. And not only watching them perform, but watching them grow, over the course of the summer, to see these audience people come to the first show and pick out somebody that they think is great, and then see them in the last show and say, wow, that person has really improved so much. They really have bought into the whole training aspect of what we do, which is great.
That's really terrific. The Siegel Music Colony in Scroon Lake, New York, is celebrating 100 years of musical training and performance. Tony Kostecki is the general director for Siegel Music Colony. For more information, you can go to siegelcolony.org. That's Siegel, spelled like beagle, S-E-A-G-L-E, colony.org, siegelcolony.org. Tony, thank you very much for being with us, for sharing the great work that you're doing, and best of luck for a wonderful summer season.
Thanks so much, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.